Okay, everybody. I just want to take a moment to welcome, a very brief moment, yes, to welcome Rabbi Blass. Rabbi Blass has spent a few summers here in Camp Cayley, and his absence is very much noticed. We miss him very much here in camp, in yeshiva, where I, you know, for years I always knew, I know Rabbi Blass for many, many years, so I always knew the kind of impact he could have and does have on people. It's an entirely different thing when you see it in person. When you see, now that I'm in the yeshiva, and I get to see the kind of impact that Rabbi Blass has, I would say he's like one of the hidden gems of YU, but he's not so hidden. All the boys know about it. All the boys know the kind of unique insight that Rabbi Blass enables them to have in themselves from a purely Torah true perspective, from the sense of uplifting people, a kind of mussar that's not like a bop you over the head mussar. It's kind of like, let's think this through together about how to approach life. And like, you're thinking, how come I never thought of life that way? And you know, it just makes you a better person, that kind of approach, which is incredibly impactful for the young men in yeshiva, incredibly impactful for his chaverim in yeshiva, if I could be so bold as to call myself one of his chaverim in yeshiva, and we're very, very grateful, certainly, that he made the shlep out to Camp Cayley to share Divrei Torah with us this evening.
Thank you, Lewis. I'll save the bop the head over the head muster for tonight. We're going to save it up for the next 45 minutes. It's such an incredible pleasure being here, as I believe was alluded to. I spent two summers here in Cayley, and I just love this place. Just, I found it so peaceful, and I'm not sure why exactly. I'm not sure if you feel the same way. Walking here at night with the gazebos lit up, something about that, it just, especially you would see kids like walking down the street here in camp. Different types of kids with different types of cognitive levels, walking arm in arm in the camp. It's just a very beautiful place. And so much of the love that I have this place, also part of being part of the Beis Medrash, learning the Beis Medrash back when we were stuffed like sardines into the old... was anybody here during those years? What was that crazy night they had? Like the dollars, something for dollars? So you're trying to give shiur while they're screaming their heads off in the next room. If you want to see Rabbi Leibowitz's real tzidkus, you should get a video from the old days of the Beis Medrash while the night activities were going on. But certainly my friendship with Rabbi Leibowitz and this enormous affection for him and our time spent together, it's so special to see you again in your element. It's so special to see you in a polo. This is like, you don't realize, like for a month, it's like, you know... and it's also, it's incredibly special for me just to see, quite honestly, Judah, or I call him Yehuda, in action. It's hard to imagine a more beautiful human being, and to see you or to see him in action here and all the efforts, I'm sure you realize what a gem, not a hidden gem, what a gem Judah is. And lastly, if I can say on a very personal level without starting to tear up, to see Yoni and Binyamin, who I've known since they were children in our shul in Muncie, and to see them now, you know, through many years of Ashar and PABC and MTA and Reishit and Kotel, and to see you now learning the Beis Medrash, it's an unspeakable joy. And I'm sure I speak on behalf of your parents and our entire community. Okay, it is 3 weeks, so I wanted to share with you a thought that I had, a bar halacha or a shiur of the course of the last few weeks that I was thinking about. And it begins with a question that many of the Mephorishim have. Anybody know the first time, first of all, I just want to apologize just as I sort of get going, just coming from the drive, trying to force myself to stay awake on Route 17. I'm still on city time. I'm an old man. So, you know, it takes me a few minutes just to sort of wake up a little bit. So I ask your patience as I do that. Anybody know the first time that Yushalayim is mentioned in Tanakh? It's a little bit of a trick question. So there are a number of scholars here who might sort of give the right answer. Yeah, what's your name in the back?
Zach,
okay. Zach, what do you say?
First time it was called by name was by David.
Okay. Zach, I see that we're dealing with a serious budding tamachacham, so we're going to have to make sure to speak to that. Yeah,
I would like to differentiate that Melchi Tzedek, Melch Shalim is the first time you're flying.
Right, mentioned. Right. So both answers are correct. But by Melchi Tzedek, Melch Shalim, obviously from Parashas Lech Lecha, that's not exactly Yushalayim. Now, we assume that's Yushalayim. We assume that Shalem is Yushalayim, but it may not be Yushalayim per se. But the first time is what Zach mentioned. Let's go through the Psukim, because Psukim speak about David HaMelech, who had been the king of Yehuda. And of course, his kingdom was centered in Hebron. And I imagine many of you have learned Shmuel Beis, or the beginning of Shmuel Beis. The somewhat bloody narrative of the unification of the upper kingdom, Yisrael. Who had been the king of Yisrael? What was his name? Anybody remember? Someone that may not be maybe as famous as he should, but what was the name of Shaul's son, who was the king in Yisrael? Remember, what's that? Right, Ishbosheth, exactly. Ishbosheth, as many people in that time did, met with a bloody end. And people came to David to try to speak with him, and this, of course, also was encouraged by Kodesh Baruch Hu, becoming the king, not just of Yehuda, the southern part of Israel, but of the entire Israel. So it says, Vayvokol zignei Yisrael ha-melech havrona, v'yichros lohem ha-melech David bris b'chavron lifnei Hashem, v'yimshichu es David l'melech ha-Yisrael. So they anointed him to be a king of all of Israel. V'shloshim shana David b'malko, arbaim shana melech. David at that time was 30 years old, which is not totally exact. Arbaim shana malach, so he ended up then serving for 40 years. Bechevron malach Yehuda shevashanim b'shisha chadashim, 7.5 years in Hebron. U'bishlayim malach shloshim b'shalosh shana kol Yisrael Yehuda. Then he reigned over all of Israel for the next roughly 33 years. Vayel hamelach v'anashav Yushalayim El Hayivusi Yoshev Haaretz. So Zach just says this is the first time that the word Yushalayim is mentioned all of Tanakh. The Jebusites were the ones who were settled in Yushalayim. Vayomer l'David lemor, lo sa ohena ki'im hestircha ha'ivrim, etc., etc. He did not, or he was not welcomed by the Yivusi with open arms. And there's a question. There's a question raised by the Meforshim. Anybody have a question on these psukim? It may seem like an obvious answer to the question. Maybe it's not a question at all. David had been the king in Hebron, right? Where is Hebron located vis-a-vis Yushalayim, like roughly? What's that?
South.
Yeah, south. Roughly how much? How far is the trip, you would say? Of course, you're not supposed to go unless... Okay, whatever. But how far south is Yushalayim? I'd say maybe 10 miles, something along those lines. It's not very far. David was already situated in Hebron. He was already associated with Hebron. And all of a sudden now he became the Melech HaYisrael, and he moved from Hebron to Yushalayim. And the question would be, what might the question be? Very simply, why? What was the necessity? David was not in a lot. He wasn't all the way up north. He was sort of like in an area just south of Yushalayim, again, situated in Hebron. So what was the need of moving from Hebron to Yushalayim now that he had like a new title, a new responsibility, a broader sphere of influence? What was the need of David moving to Yushalayim? Okay, so what would the answer, again, probably an obvious answer, what would you say the answer is to that question? Yeah, what's your name, Billy?
Justin.
Hi, Justin.
Say Hebron is the capital of Yehuda and Yehuda their Nachla, but Yerushalayim is not in the center of Yehuda's Nachla. It's more
right.
Center of the country.
Right, of course. And what Justin said is exactly right according to many Meforshim. And we understand it just very logically. You know, you're trying to unify the north and the south, right? You're trying to unify so that you find some way of finding common ground, of unifying the country. That's true in many ways, is also true geographically. So if you look in the Malbim says, anybody know who the Malbim is? What's his name? When did he live approximately? Right? Anybody? So the Malbim was one of the great, great personalities of the 19th century, of Meir Leibish. And he says the following, Vayel Hamelch Vanashav, Acher Sha'ata His Achtu Shnei Mamlochos Yisrael, exactly as Jacinda says, now that he's unified both of these kingdoms, Shehayu Arata Shev Yehuda Tachas David. Before now, only Yehuda was under David. V'yeser Hashvatim Binyamin Shevet Shaul Barosham. Shaul was in charge of all the other areas. Okay, Tachas Ishboshes. V'shavukulam Lamalchus Achas Tachas David. Now everyone's going to be unified under David. Hayamin Ha'etza. It was. What's the best way to translate that? Hayamin Ha'etza. What do those sort of words mean? What's that? Yeah, it was like advisable. V'chein hofir ritzon Hashem, and it became clear this is also the ritzon Hashem, right? She'ir hamalucha tia bigvul hashayach lishnei hashvatim. It's more shayach that the malucha would be in an area that intersects both of these dynasties, both of these shvatim. Shayu shifte malchus. And Yerushalayim was split. It was split between Yehuda and Binyamin, and therefore the kingdom was moved there. Anybody know what Gemara the Malbim is alluding to when he says that Yerushalayim was split between Binyamin and Yehuda, or Yehuda and Binyamin? Okay? Anybody here doing Dafyomi? Good, good. Okay, so recently the daf, where are we holding daf Yomi, Leewitz?
Very end of
Yuma. Very what?
Very end of
Mesechus Yuma. So towards the beginning of Mesechus Yuma, on daf Yud Beis, take a look in the Gemara that I photocopied. So Mahaya Bechelko Sha Yehuda Har Habayis, Halashachos V'Azaros. In Yehuda you had those areas of the Har Habayis. Mahaya Bechelko Sha Binyamin, Ulan v'heichal u'beis kotche ekadashim u'ritzu ha'isa yotza michelko she'yehuda v'nichneses l'chelko she'benyamin. There was like a ritzua. What's a ritzua? Yeah, it was like almost like a strip or a strap that made its way through the chelek of Binyamin and Yehuda, dividing these two territories. U'maha u'bazeh haya mizbeach banoi. Right in the middle, right in between the areas of Binyamin and Yehuda, you had the Mizbeach. Okay? Take a look at this last line of Gemara. Ubinyamin hatzadik hayim mistar aleha lebala b'chol yom. What does that mean? What's that? He was paying that what? What was he in pain about?
It wasn't all his.
That it wasn't all his? What does the word ba'a mean? Like, he wanted to sort of swallow the property of Yehuda into the property of Binyamin. I mean, it's a fascinating idea. Here you have the Mizbeach, which is in between the territory of Binyamin and Yehuda, and Binyamin was mitzayer. Binyamin, the tzaddik, was mitzayer of wanting to, envelop the entire territory, even that of Yehuda. Okay, so the first answer that we mentioned is the answer that David realized just from sort of like a geopolitical perspective that it was sagacious and made sense to move his melucha from Hebron into Yerushalayim. Right? But even more than that, and this is what I want to speak about for the next few minutes, it's clear that even from the earliest stages of history, even from the earliest times, even from early on, it was recognized that Yerushalayim was more than just a city. It was recognized the significance of Yerushalayim. It was recognized that in the consciousness of sort of every Jew, so to speak, Yerushalayim certainly played front and center. It played a tremendous role in that. And it's logical that David HaMelech, forget about any geopolitical reasons, about any idea of being in between Yehud and Yamin, but it's clear, or it's possible, that David HaMelech himself was drawn to being in Yerushalayim. Now, where do we see that? Where do we sort of see the historical significance of Yerushalayim? So we have this in many, many places. But just for example, the pasuk of course says in Bereishis, Vayivka b'makom v'yolin sham. This, of course, is by Yaakov Avinu when he had his chalom after leaving his parents' house. Kivah Hashemesh v'yikach me'avne ha'makom v'yosem v'rishosav, etc., etc. Okay, now what's the problem that the Rishonim have on this pasuk? Right, Vayivka b'makom. Okay? What's the issue? Yeah, what was him?
Ben,
yeah.
Which place is he talking about?
Right, which place are we speaking about, right? Here it is, one of the most monumental events in the life of Yaakov Avinu and really the life of sort of the Jewish nation as a whole, and it doesn't tell us where it's taking place. Right? I just saw, anybody know Josh and Shelley Friedman? Yeah, what are they doing here? Maybe something, division heads for, anyway, very, very special people. They just got married a month ago. Okay, imagine two people getting married, and if you ask them a month later, or it's recorded, their marriage, and we don't say where they got married, right? Like, lo yuman. Like, those things would exist. Men do tend to forget things. That's one thing that man does not forget. But again, we tend to identify places that are significant, but the Torah, of course, leaves out what place this was. So Rashi says, if you flip over to page 2, so Rashi says, Vayivka b'makom, lo hisker akasa be'ezem makom, ela b'makom. We don't have to say it was over here. We don't have to say what the makom was. Ela b'makom. In that significant place. In that place already that was Yadua. In that place already that by the time of the life of Yaakov Avinu already was known and significant and impactful. Haniskar b'makom acher, like that same place that was mentioned elsewhere, Huhar Moriah, Shnemar bo, Sabayar tzemakom irachov. I mean, it's referring back to Huhar Moriah, of course, by the Akedah. I mean, so this already was an established, known place, Hamakom. And of course, when we think about Hamakom, we think about a place, we also think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hamakom Yerachem Eschem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is often referred to as the Makom. So this place already was identified as being significant. Now, where else do we see that significance? So I want to raise to you, or raise an incredible, what I thought, idea by the Ramban. Okay? Before, Adam?
Right?
Ben. Excuse me. Okay. So Ben mentioned, again, obviously Ben is a learned person. Ben said, well, maybe the first place that Yushalayim is mentioned is not, as Zach pointed out, in Shmuel Beis, but really is much, much earlier. And in a way, that's true. Because the pasuk says, "V'malkitzedek melech shalem, hotzi lechem v'yayin, v'hu chowin le'el elyon." Okay, Malkitzedek melech shalem. Okay, and shalem, we assume, is Yushalayim. Now, if you look in Yoshua, Perek, Yud, Pasuk Aleph, v'hichi shmoa, Adoni Tzedek Melech Yushalayim, Kilocha Yoshua Esa'ai. Okay, the rest of the story is not important. But again, here we have the identification of another king of Yushalayim, Adoni Tzedek. Okay, so two kings of Yushalayim, Malki Tzedek and Adoni Tzedek. So the question is obvious. Okay, was Malki Tzedek, well, let's just maybe clarify this. Was Malki Tzedek born Malki Tzedek? Was that his name from birth? Was Adoni Tzedek born Adoni Tzedek? Right? What's the answer to the question? The answer is no. Right? If you see Lahavdil, honest Lahavdil, the Pope John. John is not the real name, right? King George. George is not the real name. People take on certain names in roles of leadership for various philosophical reasons, for various historical reasons. Leaders are given names. Do we have examples like that from Tanakh of Jewish kings that sort of, what's that? Or Paro, okay. People take on names for all sorts of various reasons. And here it's striking that the two non-Jewish kings in Tanakh, Malki Tzedek and Adoni Tzedek, again, kings who are not Jewish, took on, if not identical names, certainly very similar names. They took on the names of Malki Tzedek and Adoni Tzedek. This was not an accident. They took on the names of something having to do with Tzedek, the kings of Yushalayim. Anybody know why that is? Anybody want to venture a guess? Why would Gentile kings of Yushalayim, in trying to choose a name, choose Malki Tzedek, a king of Tzedek, Adoni Tzedek, the master of Tzedek? Anybody want to venture a guess as to what it might have been? Again, we don't know the answer to this question, but the Rishonim do try to deal with it. Why would they choose Tzedek in their names as kings of Yushalayim? Okay. Everyone hear the question? Anybody have an answer? Again, it's fascinating. Again, these are non-Jewish kings taking on these names. Yeah, please.
Because
if maybe Yerushalayim was known as like some sort of spiritual center or center of court cases, something like that.
Right, right, okay. Exactly right. So take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban gives two different answers. Each one of these answers I find fascinating. I truly love this Ramban. This is a Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha. U'malchi tzedek melech shalem hi Yerushalayim, right? So the Ramban says what Ben pointed out before, that Shalem is Yerushalayim. Ki'inyan shenemar v'hi b'shalem suko. U'malcha Yaakov gam bimei Yeshua. Adoni tzedek. The melech in the time of Yeshua was also called Adoni tzedek. And the Ramban says, why is that? Ki me'oz yodu hagoyim, even the nations of the world, ki hamakom ha'hu mifchar hamakomos b'emtza ha'yishuv. Okay, this was, where were people this year? So you know, you were in Kotel. Where else were people this year? Anybody? Okay, that doesn't count. Anybody else? You know, closer to Yerushalayim, perhaps. Shalvim's amazing, but okay. So, and you know, maybe something to think about next year when you're back in Shiva Kotel, that Yerushalayim was known, or even back then, it was known that Yerushalayim was the center. By the way, this was spoken about both by scientists and by others as well about the possibility that this is the case, that Eretz Yisrael is located sort of centrally between the northern and southern hemisphere, that it was Mifchar Hamakomos B'emtza HaYishuv. Now, that's all the Ramban says in his first answer. And I want to read it again. K'miyaz yadu hagoyim, the nations of the world knew, ki amakam ahu mifchar hamakomos, this was a chosen spot, this was prime real estate. Anybody who tries to, maybe some of your parents have, buy apartments in Rechavia or in the old city of Jerusalem, so you know exactly what the Ramban is speaking about. These are mifchar mekomos b'emtza ha-yishuv, in the middle of the yishuv. And that's the end of the Ramban's first answer. Okay, Justin, you have a look on your face. Justin, I have a feeling that you're an intelligent person, okay? Anybody, Justin, what are your thoughts or feelings about this Ramban?
How does that help?
Thank you. I knew that was your question. The fact that it's a Mifchar HaMakomos, a chosen place in the middle of the Yishuv, what does that then have to do with naming yourself in some way Tzedek? Malki Tzedek? Or Adoni Tzedek. What does that have to do with anything? So it seems that the Ramban is sort of going along an idea of the Radak. The Radak, of course, came after the Ramban. But take a look at the Pasuk in Yechezkel and the Radak for maybe a better understanding what the Ramban is speaking about. The Pasuk in Yechezkel says, Komar Hashem Elokim, Zos Yushalayim B'soch HaGoyim Samtiha, I place Yushalayim in the middle of the nations of the world, and around Yerushalayim were many countries, the Middle East and beyond. And if you see the next psukim in Yechezkel, the point is that because of this, because I placed Yerushalayim in the middle of all the civilization, there were certain expectations of behavior, and those expectations were not met. The behavior ended up becoming detrimental and deleterious, and destruction came as a result. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I place you in the middle of nations, in the middle of other countries. So if you look at the Radak there in Yechezkel, everyone take a look at this Radak. Komar Shelokim, Besoch HaGoyim Samtiha, Yoshveha Samti Ba Lutovosam, I place its inhabitants there for their benefit, Lufi Shehi Nivcheres Mikol HaRatzos, Eretz Yisrael is the most chosen of all the countries, and by extension, Yerushalayim, which is in the middle of the country, is the most chosen of all the cities. So Yafa Nof, Yifei Nof, Misos Kol Aretz, Shehi Be'emtza HaYishuv. Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, is in the middle of the entire sort of civilization. Lefichach Aviratov, as a result, right? Everyone know the idea, Avir Diara, right? That the Avir Diara Israel, the air of Israel, because it's in the middle of civilization, it's good, the air is good, Umazug Mikol Haaretzos. What does it mean, Mazug Mikol Haaretzos? What does it mean, like Mezeg, Mazug? What's that? Yeah, it's like, it's a pleasant place. The environment is pleasant. V'yoshveha hayo lahem lalechas derech yishara. And as a result of perhaps the environment, the weather, the pleasantness of the air, the pleasantness of the location, the environmental issues, the people living in the country should have gone derech yishara ulasos mishpatei hatovim. And they should have, done what was right. Okay, and that was a disappointment when they did it. Now, this is an amazing radak. What's the radak saying? That based on the location of Eretz Yisrael, location of Yishalayim, the pleasantness of the air, we would assume that what? That people would be acting better, they'd be acting more morally, they'd be acting in a qualitatively better way, right? I don't mean to badmouth. Anybody here from Brooklyn? Okay, Ben. So Ben, we'll leave you out of this for a second. But it happens to be true that as far as like the midos of a person, but not necessarily you, if you're living in a place that's very tzafuf, it's very crowded. People are on top of each other, right? There's no room to breathe. The air isn't good. There's smog everywhere. People are angry, they're anxious, they're antsy, they're in a bad mood, and maybe we don't expect so much. But if you live, everyone's invited to Yoni Hirschman's house at some point for a barbecue after Kaylee. If you live in Wesley Hills in Yoni Hirschman's house, you have no excuse, right? It's pleasant. There's revach, there's harvacha, and therefore people should have acted in an appropriate way, okay? And when they don't, obviously there's a greater level of disappointment. And that's like an amazing idea. The expectation is that people would act in a more genteel fashion because of sort of the environmental issues of Eretz Yisrael. Now that's probably what the Ramban is speaking about. If you look at this Ramban again, the beautiful environment of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore what, Justin, coming back to your question, so therefore the kings took upon themselves the name Tzedek, because the assumption is that Yerushalayim would be a place of righteousness, moral behavior, and all that's good in the world. They took upon their names with expectations of what the behavior either was or should be in Yerushalayim. Everyone hear that? Everyone hear the first pshat of the Ramban? Now the second pshat of the Ramban is even more amazing. And I want you to read this and tell me what you find to be amazing about this. Okay, so we're back in source number 8. Osha Yedu, or they knew. Who's they? Who are we talking about? What's that? Yeah, Adoni Tzedek, Malki Tzedek, maybe the people of their kingdoms who gave them their names. Osheyedu ma'aloso bikabala, or they understood, what do these words mean? Ma'aloso bikabala. Osheyedu ma'aloso bikabala. If I wanted to translate the word, what's the name of it?
Kiva.
Yeah.
I'd say like Mesorah.
Right. They had a certain Mesorah of the ma'aloso. What's ma'aloso? The higher status of Yerushalayim, the transcendence of Yerushalayim, there is a certain Mesorah, even among the nations of the world, of the Maidla, so to speak, of Yerushalayim, Shehu Mechuvan Keneged Beis HaMikdash Shomala, that Yerushalayim is Mechuvan. What does it mean, Mechuvan? It's like lined up. It's underneath. It's parallel to the Yerushalayim Shomala. Okay? It's lost place. So mechuvan kineged beis hamikdash shomala shesham shchinasa shakadosh baruch hu shenikra tzedek. Okay, that over there, the beis hamikdash, the Yerushalayim shomala, that's where Kadosh Baruch Hu's sort of righteousness resided, and therefore the Yerushalayim shomata, which is sort of lined up with Yerushalayim shomala, that Yerushalayim shomata also was, I guess, an incredibly special place because it was lined up, it was mechuvan, it was tachat, it was keneged Yerushalayim Shomala. And that was a Kabbalah that Malki Tzedek, that was a Kabbalah that Adoni Tzedek had of this idea. Now, what do you find amazing about this Ramban? Again, I said it, but if you think about it, it's an amazing Ramban. Again, maybe it's obvious. Yeah. What's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel what?
Becker.
Oh, Daniel Becker. that they knew about this place in Malkut Tzedek, in a paganistic society, where Adoni Tzedek had an understanding of Yushalayim Shamala, of an upper realm of Yushalayim that was Keneged or Mechuvan to Yushalayim Shamata, and therefore the implications, the hashkafic, spiritual, metaphysical implications of Yushalayim Shamata, and therefore Yushalayim Shamata is a place of Tzedek. Right? It's an unbelievable idea. That was something that from the very earliest of time, according to the Ramban, Malkut Tzedek and Adoni Tzedek must have had that understanding. It's really, it's unbelievable. Where do we see this idea? Has any been so impressed that you guys are ready? Anybody know where the Gemara speaks about this idea of Yishalayim Shamala, Yishalayim Shamata? So it's a Gemara, Justin, yeah? So it's not explicit by Yaakov. We'll see that in a second. But the Gemara speaks about it in Maseches Tanis. Okay, let's take a look at the Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara is a little bit confusing. I quoted Rashi here, but there are other Mefarshim say differently. So the Amar Rav Nachman Lo Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichsiv, sorry, Bekir Racha Kadosh, V'lo Avo Be'ir, okay, that your midst is holy, but V'lo Avo Be'ir, but I'm not going to come inside your midst. Mishun de Bekir Racha Kadosh, Lo Avo Be'ir, because our midst is holy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to come into the city. So Amar Lehachem Rav Yochanan, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo Avo Be'ushalayim Shamala, I am not going to fully bring my presence into Yushalayim Shamala, Acha Avol Yushalayim Shamata. Whatever exactly this means. Until Yushalayim Shamata is rebuilt, until the Geula has come, I am not going to enter into the domain of Yushalayim Shamala. Again, that's hard to understand, but that seems to be the Pshat of the Gemara. Umi Yushalayim Lamala? Is there such a concept that we just spoke about in the Ramban of Yushalayim Shamala? So Gemara says, in. Dichsiv Yushalayim Habnuya, the rebuilt Yushalayim, Ki'ir Shechubra Lo Yachtav. It's like a city that has been joined. Shechubra Lo Yachtav, in other words, that there are two different Yushalayims that are joined, Yushalayim Shamala, Yushalayim Shamata. You can skip over Rashi, maybe look at it on your own, and let's take a look at the Maharsha. Yushalayim Habnuya, Ki'ir Shechubra Lo Yachtav. Klomar, the Maharsha says, Yushalayim Habnuya Lamata, Hikir Yushalayim Shechubra La Yachtav. The Yushalayim Shamata is like, it's connected to, it's attached to, it's parallel to the upper Yushalayim. The Hainu Shehi Lamala B'Shamayim Neged Yushalayim Shalamata. She Mechuvenes Keneged Shar HaShamayim. Okay, and this is, Justin, what you mentioned, right, about Yaakov, who mentioned about Yaakov, okay? So that there's the like a Shar HaShamayim. The Yushalayim is like a gateway to the upper Yushalayim. Where do we see this by Yaakov Avinu? By Yir V'Yomar Manara HaMakom Hazeh. How awesome is this place? Ezekim Beis Elokim Hazeh Shar Shemayim. This place, this Bayifka Bamakom, this Har Moria is a Shar Shemayim. So based on that, there's a very famous Medrash in the Pirkei Avot. So Hishkim Yaakov B'Pachad Gadol V'Amar Beis Shal Kadosh Baruch HaMakom Hazeh. This is God's house. Shenemar v'yir v'yomer manerah makom hazeh. Mikan atolama chakol miskalo b'makom hazeh b'yushalayim. Anybody who davens in this place in Yushalayim, I want to mention my son, who some of you know, Rabbi Leibowitz and Yoni Ben Yamin. So he actually just went on Jolt. So he was in Eretz Yisrael for the first time. He never went to Eretz Yisrael before for various reasons. He was supposed to go last summer, but there were some problems last summer, obviously. So we just got a picture from the Jolt staff of him davening for the first time at the Kotel. My son is not the most, to be honest, this is a fair statement, he's not the most simple child in the world, right? Okay? You don't have to laugh so excitedly about it, but yes, okay. But to see him davening for the first time at the Kotel without anybody even having to tell him, to instruct him, without him probably having any clue the historical significance of the Kotel, what wall this is, what are we talking about, what was the basement, without even knowing any of that. So he had just this inherent sense of what the Medrash is speaking about in Pirkei Ezer. Shekol mitzpal u'makom hazeh b'yushalayim, ke'ilu hispal u'fnei kisei hakavod. Right? It's like that literally you're transported from the lower Yushalayim to the upper Yushalayim. Sheshar HaShemayim Sham, Shamhu, Upesach Patuach Lishmo Tfilo Shenemar V'zeh Shar HaShemayim. Okay? And I want to just mention, just on a very personal note, I'm sure many of you experience this as well, that sense of the lower Yushalayim, Mechuvan, Kenega, the upper Yushalayim, that sense of the various bifurcated pieces in our life, the various distilled pieces in our life that find in a certain way a meshing, right? That find a harmonious center. When a person walks through Yushalayim, one of my favorite things to do in Yushalayim is to park somewhere like near, where's that restaurant? Century 21? Not Century 21. Century 21 is something totally different. Okay, what's the Center 1, right? Center 1. I miss Century 21. So, you know, my heart is still with the closed Century 21. So park by Center 1, park your car, then walk through Shalayim, walk down Rehov Yafo, walk through Shar Yafo, right? Make the left onto King James Street, everyone knows what we're speaking about. Walking down like Rehov Or Chaim, walking into the Kikar in the old city of Yushalayim, where Tzvi spent a good part of his last number of years, right? There's a sense, even without even knowing this Medrash, even knowing this Gemara, even this Ramban of this old Kabbalah, but there's a sense of a chibur, right? There's a sense of a fundamental chibur of like my body's over here, but there's a sense of like my soul connected, and all of that is taking place as the person is walking through Yushalayim. Now, this idea of chibur, right, and Yushalayim being the center of that, and this came back to my original point, like David HaMelech must have sensed all of this, right? If Malki Tzedek, if Adoni Tzedek, in their own times, in their own lives, understood what the Ramban said, that there's a certain Kabbalah of what Yushalayim is, right? Could it be doubted that David HaMelech understood symbolically of where his kingdom needed to be centered, right? It's not just a sort of a geopolitical just and said decision, but there's a sense of Yushalayim as being the place of hitchavrut, so to speak. Now, I love this beautiful Malbim. I know we have to dive in a few minutes. But look at this Malbim. I'm not totally sure I understand what the Malbim means, but I still love it anyway. So the Malbim is on the pasuk Tehillim, Yushalayim here, Benuya Kir Shechavr Lo Yachtav. Yushalayim is the sort of the joining of the upper and the lower. She'eleha uba'avura yishabru ha'evarim ha'pratim shel ha'guf ha'kolo yachtov liyos guf echad. Okay. Now, seeing that I don't know exactly what the Malbim means, I'm going to pass over to one of you. What does it mean? She'eleha uba'avura yishabru ha'evarim ha'pratim shel ha'guf Hakolo yachtov liyot guf echa. But I don't know exactly what a Hebrew means. I go from speaking Ashkenazis to Sfardit. I feel like that makes it easier if I do tough instead of soft. So we made a shift over here. I'm still not totally sure. But anyway, what do you say?
First of all, I do that too.
What's that?
I do that too.
You do the same thing also? You like morph into like Rav Kook while you're reading, like, you know, okay. Halavai, by the way. But yeah. What's that? Well, I know that he did, but I can't read his Sfarim in Ashkenazis. It doesn't like, you feel like you're butchering his Sfarim, you know? It's like too beautiful for us to bring our Eastern European sensitivities towards, anyway, yeah, so what do you think?
It seems like, it's kind of like the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, like that kind of approach, that when we have disparate parts, so they do all add up together in some way to one thing, but when we have them on a table separate, and we have the finished product, those are two things that are worlds apart.
Yeah, beautifully said. Okay, anybody maybe either want to say that differently or like a different perspective. What is the Malbim saying? What's him?
Ellie.
Ellie.
You could read it literally in terms of one person, but you could also read it as Kali Shalar oftentimes compared to one big goof.
Right.
In terms of like feeling other people's sorrows, whatever it is. So he says when Kali Shalar is together, it's like one body.
Right. So whatever it is that he means, but again, just like as far as the simple pshat of the words, she'eleha, maybe either on it, uba'avura, because of it, yishabru ha'evarim ha'pratim, will be a connection of all the the limbs that are separate, right? Eli, you're referring to like the Sefer Chinuch and other sort of Rishonim, is that speaking about Klal Yisrael is maybe speaking about a person themselves, right? Every person themselves have these like disparate parts about themselves, which find unification somehow in Yushalayim, Shal Haguf HaKol Yachtov Lios Guf Echon. Now when I think about Yushalayim, I think about sort of the connection of those pieces. You know, you begin to think, you know, as we approach Tisha B'Av and whatever it is, in a little less than 2 weeks, so you really begin to think about like the nature of redemption, right? You know, the idea of redemption, of Yeshua, of Geula, exists on multiple levels. And of course, we understand that, right? It exists in sort of the ultimate level, an ultimate Geula, you know, a national redemption, excuse me, rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. That tends to be the Geula that we think about when somebody says the word Geula, you know, redemption, or Yeshua. But the reality is that, I guess, along the path of an ultimate redemption, there are like these thousands of moments of like a personal Yeshua, right? Like thousands of moments of a personal redemption, right? And for me, again, this is just this apashtus. Personal redemption, and I think this is a lot of what you say also, or even like just redemption in our lives, is essentially, very simply, hitchabrut. Right, it's a connection of the disparate pieces of a person's life. Right, a person who's living a life of, again, not to use a complicated word, but a bifurcation of disconnection, soul from body, spirit from action, actions from mind, heart from, right, a person is living in a state of exile, sort of a personal shchinta begalusa. And every time there's a hitchabrut, every time, almost as I said before, you're walking through Camp Paley at night, it's a beautiful evening, the gazebos are lit up, you had a great night seder. I remember when I was learning at YU a couple years ago, back in the early 90s, the mid-90s, if I can just maybe share a personal story. So I used to stay up quite late in the Beis Medrash back in my early years. And I would leave the Beis Medrash whatever time, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night, after just an incredible night seder. Rabbi Lewis, I'm sure, can speak of, and I'm sure all of you guys can, of coming to a Beis Medrash at 8 o'clock at night, feeling exhausted, feeling like all you want to do is go to sleep, not having the energy, and then 4 or 5 hours later, sort of leaving a Beis Medrash almost like with a cloud nine type of sensation. And during those years, I'd go up to the roof of Mus Hall, but now I'm sure you would never have thought of doing such a thing, breaking up there illegally to the roof of the MTA building, looking out to New York City. Back then, of course, the Twin Towers were still standing. And it was a feeling on a beautiful spring night of just an absolute feeling of like a personal redemption of every piece of oneself. The physical self standing on top of a building, looking out to New York City, coming on the heels of a beautiful night seder, there's a sense of like the seamless melding of body and soul of every piece of ourselves. That's like a personal Yeshua. That's like an ir shechubur lo yachtav, but in a very, very personal sense. And that is Yeshua in a very small level, on a very microcosmic level, but in an incredibly powerful and impactful level in our own lives. And we think about those disparate parts. Think, like, you know, the pasuk says in Tehillim, David HaMelech, who himself was a person who was so conscious of various pieces of his personality, various pieces of his ego, so to speak, and he spoke about himself, or about humanity. Ma enosh ki tizkerenu. Who is man that you are mindful of him, that you even think of him? Ben Adam ki tifnenu. Who is a person that you've taken note of him? Who is man? Who are we? We're basically nothing in this world. We're born of a tipa srucha. We end up in the grave. Our lives are quick. Often our lives are incredibly physical. Often our lives are incredibly small. Sometimes it's detestable. That's a man on the one hand. A man on the other hand, the very famous Medrash of Yikra Rabba, Kedoshim Tiyu, just the underlined sections, and with Davin, So Yachol Kamoni, there's a Havamina that you as a person, you as a human being, can be like me, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Talmud Lomar, no, you can't be like me, Ki Kadosh Ani. Me, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm separate, I'm removed, I'm distinct from the world. My sanctity is greater than your sanctity. But what's amazing is the Havamina, that man could be like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at the Kedushas Levi, V'zekavonis ha-medrish kedoshim tiyu, Yochol kamoni tamalomer kikadosh oni Hashem, Kedushas si l'mala mikedushas chem. My Kedusha is l'mala mikedushas chem, from your Kedusha. Look at this Kedushas Levi, and with this I'll conclude. The hainu machmas rov kedushas chem. Why am I kadosh, Kadosh Baruch Hu says? Mikedushas chem, because of your sanctity. Because of who you are as a people. Because of your fundamental sanctity as people, I am raised, I am elevated, I am where Kadosh Akash Baruch Hu says, V'zehu Kedusha Silamala, the Hainu Shenizkadesh Shmi Machmas Kedushaschem. Why am I elevated, Akash Baruch Hu says? Because of your fundamental sanctity as human beings. A Yeshua on a meaningful level, as we think about Yeshua now, there's the grand Yeshua. Yerushalayim should be rebuilt. Okay, great. But forget about Yerushalayim being rebuilt. Do we live lives of personal redemption, personal Yeshua, where we're able to understand ourselves, Ma Enosh Kediskarenu, we are just human beings. In a way, we are small. At the same time, because of my sanctity as a human being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu attained a certain level of Kedusha, which are words that I couldn't say, but Kedushas Levi says them. And to bring all of those pieces, Yushalayim Shamal and Yushalayim Shamata, the upper levels of our being, connected to and informing and elevating the lower elements of our being, that is the life of the greatest level of happiness and Yeshua and redemption. And what a life like that look like, a bring together those pieces of ourselves in everything that we do, in every fiber of who we are. What would that existence look like? And to me, again, at my best, when I think about my life in that way, that's the life of beautiful redemption, beautiful geula. The mirchim that should happen, Yushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come to Yushalayim Shamala, after we've come back to Yushalayim Shamata, but at the very least, we are constantly being mitchaber, constantly connecting the beautiful and sometimes disparate pieces of who we are. Thank you guys so much. It's very late at night. You've had a long day. You guys have been amazing. I say this every year when I come. Every year it's just as true. And you should continue to have tremendous hatzlacha this summer, next year, for many years to come. And I look forward to seeing many of you, if not all of you, Mir Tzeshem, in the YU based Medrash X amount of years from now. So, okay, thank you guys.
So Lapiansky points out that we have inverted letters with